This is Joanna Schrader with Monte Shaw, who is currently at the Prairie Meadows Convention Center pretending to drive around in a flex-fuel John Deere lawnmower. Monte, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm just very upset that the rules do not allow me to be eligible to win this awesome zero-turn John Deere lawnmower that, by the way, runs on E85.
I know. How awesome is that, right?
We love this. We love John Deere because some small engine manufacturers still whine. Not very many, but there's some that still whine about E10. Instead of whining about E10, John Deere is producing small engines that run on E85. They deserve a huge congratulations for that.
Well, it's been a great conference. This is your 8th annual iRenewable Fuels Summit, obviously put on by the iRenewable Fuels Association. Huge turnout today. A lot of consumers showed up today to hear about ethanol and hear about biodiesel. Why do you think that is? I mean, are we finally getting to these consumers, Monte?
Well, I think so. We've always pitched this not just as an industry event, but as a way to inform the public and educate them. It's free. It's open to the public. Yeah, we had well over 600 people here today. While it was cold, we did not have a blizzard, so that was nice. And so just a great turnout. And we try to make it so that if you're an industry insider, you're still going to learn something here, but that there's a lot of information geared toward just people who want to learn more. And so we've always tried to do that balance, and I think it's paid off.
Well, so you had panels on E15, we had panels on biodiesel, you had a panel focusing more on cellulosic. I mean, what are some of the other highlights that people saw today?
Yeah, so there was really some consumer focus with E15 and biodiesel. And then for those who are kind of interested in the whole next generation thing, we have 4 projects here in Iowa, DuPont, Poet DSM, Quad County, and then Fiberite. So we have 4 projects, and we highlighted those. The morning, though, was a little bit more focused on the federal side with the renewable fuel standard. This was the last day for people to submit comments. We had a big push on that. Bob Dineen gave a great update on that issue from the renewable fuels national perspective. And the governor was here to talk about all the things he's been doing on the RFS. And we're really optimistic that it's going to be very difficult for the EPA to ignore the wealth of information, as well as the grassroots support for not messing with the RFS.
Well, and Iowa Renewable Fuels has been, your association has been instrumental in this fight. Iowa's the largest producer of ethanol and biodiesel. You know, they missed your stats this morning, so it might be good to kind of share with everyone here around the country. You know, just how big is Iowa in terms of biofuel production?
Yeah, we are number one in ethanol production with about 13.8 billion gallons. We're number one in biodiesel production with 230 million gallons. And obviously corn, soybeans, and all kinds of other agriculture commodities. So we have more at stake than just about any other state. And so we have taken that responsibility seriously to help lead the charge. And we've been aiding that with a wonderful governor, Terry Branstad, with Secretary of Agriculture Northey, as well as our entire federal delegation. Republicans and Democrats, House and Senate, are united to fight back against this proposal that would really, I hate to be overly dramatic, but I really am concerned that it could lead to another farm crisis. We can't put the cost of producing crops above the price that those crops can get. There's no farm bill safety net anymore. You'll see rural incomes plummet. You'll see land values plummet. That is a recipe for a farm crisis.
Well, and not only is that a recipe for a farm crisis, but a farm crisis also has a negative impact on every consumer, correct? I mean, from a consumer who doesn't understand agriculture, why is the loss of gallons and the renewable fuel standard also devastating for consumers?
Yeah, in a lot of states, you go to a station, gas station, you either see ethanol blends or no ethanol blends. Iowa and a couple other states still have the ability to, at almost every station, to buy an E0, no ethanol, as well as E10. So here we can see it every time we fill up. You go to that pump, and you can pick an 87-octane no ethanol blend, or you can pick an 87-octane ethanol blend and save 23 to 32 cents, depending on where you're at in Iowa. Think about that. 10% ethanol, not 90%. We're not talking E85 here. Only 10% ethanol saves you at least 23 cents a gallon for the same octane fuel. If you take ethanol out of gas, it's more expensive. It's just that simple. Even Washington, D.C., who's not very good with numbers, even they should be able to do that math.
So then why are they fighting so hard against something that it just seems so common sense to so many people?
You know, somehow the oil industry got some people inside the White House to buy hook, line, and sinker this notion that, oh, if you keep this RFS, we're going to have to stop selling gasoline in America and the prices will go up. It's absolutely ridiculous. I said this morning it was the most successful bluff in the history since the sheriff took himself hostage in Blazing Saddles, if you're old enough to remember that movie. I mean, essentially, the oil companies are saying, if you do this, we'll shoot ourselves in the head. No, they're going to keep refining. That's what they do. They're not going to just shut down their refineries and short the U.S. fuel supply. In fact, if they did, it would require an illegal cartel. So it's just ridiculous. But the White House bought it. They told the EPA to lower the RFS. What we've shown with literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of comments supporting the RFS is that there is a real political price to pay if you persist. And while Washington, D.C. is pretty dysfunctional, doesn't do a lot right these days, they're still usually pretty good about counting votes. And they got some votes to count here, and so we're optimistic that we're going to see some improvements. Will it be enough? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, Monty, I've been asking everybody this question. You mentioned earlier that today's the end of the comment period, but is this the end of the ethanol industry and consumers submitting comments about the benefits of renewable fuels? Should this continue?
Yes, our efforts should continue. I mean, okay, tomorrow, take a deep breath, relax, and then on Thursday, call the White House. Okay, this was a political decision at the White House. All right, the EPA formal comment period is over. So they have to review those. That's going to take a couple of months. But we need to keep the pressure up on the White House. Call your representative or senator, especially if they happen to be a Democrat, and tell them to get in the White House and say, you're killing me. You know, I'm up for re-election, and this is hanging around my neck like a lead balloon. And quite frankly, I think it is. And I don't want to just say this is all about politics. We didn't make it about politics. We wanted to follow the law. We wanted to follow the facts on the ground. Everywhere you sell higher blends of ethanol, consumers respond, and they buy them in amounts more than enough to cover the statutory requirements for ethanol that's laid out in the bill. It was the White House that made this political by being so scared of this fictitious bluff by the oil industry that they were going to raise gas prices, that they're the ones that violated not only the intentions of the law, but the actual letter of the law in this proposal is not upheld. So we're saying that we're going to have to, we didn't start the politics, but we can end it. So keep the pressure on the White House.
So, Monty, what's next for Iowa RFA? You know, until we've got the next year, you had hundreds of consumers here. I heard that they were very enlightened. I heard people talking, saying, wow, I had no idea, you know, the impact that biofuels had on the state. So what's next for you? Guys have a lot of work ahead of you this year, but what's sort of your most immediate step here going forward?
Well, first of all, we're not going to let off the pressure on the RFS. So, but we've talked about that. Another thing we have to do, though, is we have to turn our eyes also to the State House. Because if the federal government is going to walk away from its commitment to renewable fuels, then state policy is even more important. So Grant Mankey and our staff is leading our efforts to see what can be done at the state level to continue to support the production and use of biodiesel, the production and use of ethanol, and specifically higher blends of ethanol like E15. State policy, not just in Iowa but around the country, will become more and more important if inexplicably the Obama White House decides to walk away from renewable fuels.
So, Monty, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, just in case the president listens to this, Mr. President, you came to Iowa, you campaigned for Iowa agriculture, Iowa renewable fuels. You not only said you would support the renewable fuel standard, your presidential energy plan, when you ran, actually called for increasing it to 60 billion gallons, not gutting it. So do the right thing, follow the law, follow the numbers, follow your campaign promise, pick up the phone, call the EPA, and tell them don't mess with the RFS.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Anytime.